Murray Olds in the studio, Murray. And you've been in the game a long time, the radio game, the journalism game a long time. I want to get your thoughts on these proposed changes to the Senate voting laws. A lot of the crossbenchers aren't real happy with it, Glenn Lazarus especially.
Yeah, he was in smoke coming as he is this time yesterday morning when, a proposal hit the deck. And, look, on the one hand, you think the Glenn Lazaruses of the world, the David Lionholms of the world are right, because these changes will make it almost impossible for these so-called micro-parties to win a seat.
Mm.
But then do you think to yourself, well, what the hell does David Lionholm contribute? What does Glenn Lazarus contribute? It is the House of Review. And the point that Lazarus was making, he said, well, guess what? Without us here waving the flag for his state, Queensland, nothing gets done. No one hears about us. They don't care. And what this will do, he says, is concentrate the power in the hands of far fewer political parties. But on the other hand, the government says, well, and I'll just look these figures up this morning because I know you wanted to mention this. The point that Malcolm Turnbull made, the Prime Minister made when outlining these proposals, he said, how come a guy like Nick Xenophon, who, by the way, says this is great because guess what? Xenophon's got a national profile.
And he's got a few people coming up in the next election.
He's got a lot
election.
Of people coming through.
Yeah.
The Greens love it too, for obvious reasons. Labor says, oh, no, because Labor is just what they're saying at the moment.
Mm.
The point that Turnbull made, and I think it's a valid point, how can you have a fellow like Nick Xenophon in South Australia, he polled second in the last election, the Senate vote in 2013. Corey Bernardi, the Liberal, polled 285,058 votes. His share of the popular vote, 27.5%. Nick Xenophon was second. He got 258,000 votes, we'll say 25%.
Right.
Penny Wong came in third with almost 23%. Sarah Hanson-Young's in the Senate, and she got 7.1% for the Greens.
Mm.
7.1. So she's in there. Family First, Bob Day. I haven't heard Bob Day say anything. But he's in there with 3.76. Here's the point that the Prime Minister made. Xenophon's in there with 25% of the vote. He's got one seat in the Senate. Ricky Muir is the Motoring Enthusiasts Party.
Mm-hmm.
He polled 0.51% of the vote, 17,000 first preference votes. He's in the Senate. Why is he there?
Yeah.
The system is flawed. If that is, and there's a guy called Wayne Dropkick, Wayne Dropulich or Dropulich from Western Australia. He got elected to the Senate on 0.02% of the vote. Until he got rubbed out in a rerun of the election over there.
So what's the answer? How can these people on such small amount of votes get in the Senate?
Because they've been gaming the system. A guy called Glenn Drury's in there, and it's a very complicated process. You need a sort of a brain the size of Einstein's to work it out.
Right.
But you can game the system by you and I getting in there. We swap votes, we swap preferences, and so you go down, 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 down until your vote's exhausted, and this is the result. You've got, I mean, have a look at the ballot paper for the South Australian Senate. You had the Libs, Labor, Xenophon, Greens, Family First. Then you've got people like Help End Marijuana Prohibition. They got 6,000 votes. You've got someone called the Sex Party, got 10,500 votes. They should have got more. You've got No Carbon Tax Skeptics, Building Australia, Stable Population, Country Alliance, Smokers' Rights, One Nation. Well, her party got nearly 3,000 votes. The point the government's making, do you want to have a ballot paper as long as a double king-size bed sheet?
Mm.
Well, who the hell can vote on that?
Yeah.
There are practical considerations, never mind the obvious ridiculous outcome when you got a guy polling a handful of votes with the same amount of say as Nick Xenophon, who got 25% of the popular vote in his state.
All right, and so what's the likelihood of that getting through, do you think?
Bloody good, because the government's got the numbers with the Greens.
Okay.
Kaboom, see ya.
All right, there you go. See you later, enthusiasms, parties.
That's right, go and be enthusiastic on your own, Ricky. Apparently he talks. No one's heard him say very much, but apparently he talks.
To be fair, I've seen some of his speeches in the Senate. They've been actually interesting. So
really?
I don't know if he's getting good advice or
What's he spoken about?
He's spoken about asylum seekers. He's spoken about something else. We'll move on, though.
We should all be talking about asylum seekers.
That's right. Absolutely correct. Okay, and you got some gags for us as well, as per usual.
These are pretty bad. I did my best to find the worst possible gags.
A polar bear
walks into a bar and says, hi, barman, give us a scotch and...
Hold the ice.
Coke. Barman says, why the big paws? The polar bear says, I don't know, I've always had them.
Oh, that was probably the worst you've had in this segment, I think.
There's Bill. He's driving home and he sees a police car behind him. Sirens on. Red light and blue light flashing. He takes off as fast as he can go.
Mm-hmm.
He finally gets pulled over by the police officer. He says, listen, I'm going to help you out. Give me a good excuse and I won't write you a ticket. Bill thinks for a second. Okay, 3 weeks ago my wife left me for a policeman. So when I saw your car rushing it behind me, I thought you were bringing it back.
All right, and one final one.
There's an old couple goes into McDonald's where they carefully split a burger and fries. There's a trucker next door on the next door table. He looks what's going on over there. He thinks, oh, the poor old buggers, they can't afford a burger and fries each.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks over and says, listen, I couldn't help but notice you're sharing a burger and fries. I'd love to shout you another one. Oh, it's okay, says the husband. We share everything. Have done all our married lives.
That's sweet.
He said, look, a few minutes later, the husband's still chowing down. The trucker says, look, are you sure I can't buy your wife a burger and chips? Listen, she'll eat, the husband says. She'll eat when it's, she's got half. We share everything. Unconvinced, the trucker turns to the wife. Listen, baby, why aren't you eating? He says, shut up. I'm waiting for my turn with the teeth.
There you go. Three of the crappiest dad jokes you'll hear anywhere on radio on Wednesday morning. Thank you very much, Mr. Olds.
Pleasure, Mitchell.